So I come from what if people. I come from a father who, if you were to follow him home on any given day in his car, you would see him drive through the gate to his the security gate to his gated neighborhood. Then he would drive into his garage using his electric garage door opener. He would apply the club to his steering wheel. He would get out of the car. He would arm the alarm. He would unlock the door to the house, go in the house, lock the door to the house, and arm the house alarm. I think that's like six levels of security, if I'm counting correctly. I come from people who have told me since I was old enough to make sense of this that anytime you make a reservation or talk to anybody on the phone, you get their name and you write down the date. If you're in a restaurant, you get a bill, you always check the bill. Always. I come from people whose main mission in life is to prevent trouble, is to protect themselves, is to be secure. And for most of my life, I was pretty loyal to this. I well remember being a senior in high school and at a concert, a Depeche Mode concert. I'm totally dating myself, but at Merriweather Post Pavilion, I was on the lawn. Me and my girlfriends were on a blanket. There were some boys next to us on a blanket. I started talking to one. Well, then we started making out. And in the middle of making out, I just thought, what if? What if I get HIV from this boy? This was the late 80s, and there was some suspicion that HIV was possibly transferable through saliva. So I removed my tongue, stepped away. He recovered quickly and started making out with another one of my friends, who, P.S., did not get HIV from this boy. So I was really loyal to this for many, many years. I mean, I did things that were wrong or bad. I drank, I had parties, I did stuff like that, but I never lost control. I always was really smart about it, and I always remained faithful to this family mantra of, stay in control, protect yourself, be secure, all of this. What if was really my way of being until I had children. And you realize pretty immediately once you have a baby that you have no control. And by the time I was in my late 30s, I had a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and I was what-ifing so much I was going crazy. What if this child doesn't gain any weight? What if this child never stops crying? What if this child never sleeps? What if this child sleeps but dies in its sleep? What if, what if, what if? And no way to do anything with these what ifs, no way to have control over this. And I needed to do something different. I needed to do something different in a big way, in a radical way. And that is how, on a morning in 2011, I found myself in a office in a nondescript brick building on the campus of Bayview Medical Center. This office was not your regular doctor's office. It actually looked like a college dorm room. It had a couch. It had like one of those IKEA like halogen lamps. It had like just kind of comfortable things in it, like the kind of college dorm room I would have done drugs in if I wasn't scared to do drugs in college. But this was a morning in 2011. I had a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. I was in my early 40s and late 30s, early 40s, and I was here to trip balls, basically. I was part of a study that Hopkins was doing on the effect of psychedelic drugs on consciousness, right? And I said I needed to do something big and something radical, and this is what I did. So I'm sitting there, and I have two guides who are also researchers who come in, and they hand me a white capsule. So this is pharmaceutical grade psilocybin. This is like really good shit. And then they hand me a goblet with this like psychedelic sacred mushrooms decorating it, full of water. So I put the tablet on my tongue and I wash it down with this water from this goblet. And then I proceed to cry my eyes out for a half an hour because I'm terrified. Because what if? What the fuck if, right? I've just taken psychedelic drugs. If you're a what if person, this is your worst nightmare, right? You don't want to lose control too bad. You're not in control. And I was really scared. I was scared that something terrible was going to happen. I was scared that some black demon was going to come up from inside me and take me over, and I was never going to get that genie back in the bottle. I was scared I was just going to go crazy. I was just scared. And that's what this crying was. It wasn't any like gentle weeping or like, you know, romantic tears rolling one by one down my cheek. This was like Niagara. This was like great racking sobs that went on and on and on. And then they stopped. And I put on the eye mask and put on the headphones that had a soundtrack that the research study had programmed. And I laid down on the couch and I started to see really beautiful things, as you do when you're tripping balls. I saw beautiful graphical images, just beautiful colors, and those then gave way to these sort of really painterly tableaus of different scenes that I would just sort of move in and out as if I was on like a rocket ship sort of exploring these things. At one point, I was in this really beautiful outside like church of some sort, and I remember saying at one point to these two people here who were studying me, basically, you know, when is it going to get scary? Isn't it supposed to be scary? When is it going to get scary? And then they just said, oh, just keep on going, keep on going. And I, for the next 4 hours, had the most wonderful time. It was wonderful in my head. It was wonderful in my heart. It was wonderful in my body. It was this experience of being really excited and really peaceful at the same time. And at the height of it, at the height of the sort of ecstasy of this experience, I shouted like as if I was Moses from on high or something. You know, I shouted, write this down. The answer is it's not scary. And I realize what that sounds like. It sounds like psychedelic mumbo jumbo. I get it. I know that. It's what you're thinking. And sure, I mean, on the face of it, it doesn't mean that much. But to me, it means everything. Because to me, it's the code for another way of being where giving up control, being vulnerable, not knowing, going into the unknown doesn't have to be something that you guard against and that you never want to do and that you spend your whole life avoiding. But rather the unknown can be this adventure and this wonderful exploration. And in fact, it is only by letting down your control, surrendering, being vulnerable, that you can have that experience. It was only until the psilocybin basically annihilated everything that I had been taught to believe growing up that I had this experience. And I have to tell you, coming out of it was really hard. It was really a feeling of, wow, I've never had that experience. Am I ever going to have that again? And ever since then, I can tell you that, no, I am not currently tripping balls, much as I would love to get hold of some of that pharmaceutical-grade psilocybin again. But I reach for that experience again and again because, of course, I still say what if. Of course, those ruts are worn so deep in my brain, just as anything you're raised with is. But I have that experience to reach for and to feel, and I can palpably feel what it was like to go into the unknown and be unafraid and reap all the joy and the benefits. So that was my version of taking a leap. Thank you.